I got 10,000 people to promote my next book, 100 Million Dollar Leads, absolutely free. And to give you a visual of that, that's like an entire stadium full of people promoting your thing. And now imagine those people leaving that stadium and then entering their own individual stadiums and shouting, being like, go check this thing out. And the best part is, it's absolutely free. I was thinking to myself, like, what would be the craziest way that I could launch this book to make a big fanfare about it? Because my first book, 100 Million Dollar Offers, was all about making a crazy offer to people, as in making an offer so good, people feel stupid saying no. And I tried to make the book a meta example of the concept within the book. I talk about having elements to enhance the offer, having a big price to value discrepancy. And so I offer the book for 99 cents, but included a course, which most people would charge thousands of dollars for, absolutely free without even asking people to opt in for it. All of this was just to demonstrate the value equation, which was the core concept of that book. Now, my $100 million leads book is a different book. It's about advertising in order to get leads. And so I was like, okay, well, if I wanted to demonstrate all the concepts in that book, I'd have to do something totally different than how I did with offers. And so with this, I was like, well, how do I show that I can get lots of leads with a book? And so I was like, I'm gonna hold a big book event. So I'm gonna hold a book launch event. It's gonna be virtual and it's gonna be free and everyone's invited. And I'm gonna see how many people I can get to this thing. And I'm not gonna do it the way I could do it, which would just be like, I could post on my social media, I probably get plenty of people to go. I wanted to use every single one of the methods I talk about in the book to promote the book itself. And one of those methods is called affiliate marketing. And so the way that I actually did this in the real world was that we created an affiliate opt-in, which is just put your name, your email, your phone number, and then what we would give them is a unique URL. So a custom link that if someone clicked their link, it would take them to the leads opt-in page for the event, but it would be tracked back to them. And then the top 10 affiliates, I said I would hop on a live Q&A call with their audience if they won and they were in the top 10. Anyone who got at least 10 people to show up to the event, I would give two bonus chapters for my book that I'm not going to release with the book as an added benefit. And if you think about this, it's because I want to incentivize the highest affiliates to promote the most and be competitive, but I don't want somebody who has like 100 person email list to think, oh, well, I'm never going to win that. Why bother? Well, there's also a prize that everyone can win. There's scarcity at the top, but then just a tiny hurdle for everyone, which is actually one of the strategies I talk about when creating an affiliate compensation system, because it actually works the same way whether you're promoting an event or supplements or widgets or services. It all works the same way. So inside this video, I'm going to talk about who to pick to affiliate with, how to onboard them properly and set expectations, how to get them to start advertising, and how to keep them advertising along the way, and a little bonus of how to structure that offer. All right, so the first thing that you have to figure out when you're creating an affiliate strategy or an influencer strategy is who's the ideal affiliate. One of the more advanced advertising strategies is that you actually have two customers now. You have your affiliate avatar and then you have your customer avatar. So now it means that you have to deliver to two types of people rather than one. And that's where it gets more complicated if you're starting out. That being said, there's different ways of doing this in different industries. For example, if I'm a brick and mortar business, my affiliate strategy is, let's say I'm a massage person. I could then go and say, okay, what are all the big businesses in the area? And say, okay, these guys hire 10 new employees a week. It's a big corporation. I say, hey, Mr. Corporation, I want to give each of your new employees two free massages on the house. Here's a coupon. You can give it to them in their new employee packet. Why would that business say no to giving their employees some sort of treat? And for me, I'm happy to just get new customers. And if I make that partnership now with 10 or 100 companies, then I'm going to be able to fill up my books. And how much did that cost me in advertising? Literally only the effort to reach out to them and make the ask, right? And so you have with an affiliate strategy, two levels of offers. What's the offer you're going to make them? And then what's the offer they're going to make on your behalf to their customers, right? And so the two free massages is my offer to their customer, which in this place is an employee, which totally underrated strategy because they'll never see you as competition. But then also, why am I going to make this offer to the employer? The offer to them is your employees will like you more and have a better onboarding experience and be de-stressed by having this thing, and you'll be perceived as a more caring employer. That's the offer. I don't need to like incentivize them and pay them or do anything like that because it's in their best interest. To the same degree, if I'm still that massage therapist, I might go to a chiropractor and say, hey, some of your people get their backs cracked and they probably need someone to massage. Anybody who gets their back cracked with you, I'll give them a massage on the house. And then all of a sudden, that chiropractor who gets 50 new patients a month will send you a certain percentage of those patients. Now, you could also even pay them on top of that to further incentivize them. But typically, if you do a really good job and you establish a relationship, they'll start doing that. And if you're really smart about it, you'll start referring them business too. And then that is where you really start the machine going. That's a brick and mortar example. An influencer example is probably what most people are used to, which is like, hey, use my discount code for 10% off. And then the influencer gets some kickback. Now, sometimes that's just a straight endorsement. You pay them to post, which is much more like paid advertising, or you do some sort of split based on what they bring you, which is much closer to affiliate advertising, which is what I'm talking about. A third version of this is the main way that I used to market this book, which is affiliate marketing, which is much more common in the internet marketing world. This covers a huge amount of people who have listed lists and audiences that they have trust with. What you have to do is say, hey, you will gain trust with your audience. The trade is that sometimes they do lose trust with their audience, which is why people pay to get affiliates. Ultimately, your brand matters a lot with why they would trust their customers and their goodwill with you. And so the reason, in my opinion, that the book launch, which is not here, but pretend I have my book right here, has gone well using this strategy is that many people in my audience trust that I'm going to over-deliver, which I absolutely am, to their audience. And so their audience will then associate the value they get from me with them. And so it's almost like them getting free goodwill by promoting my stuff, right? And that's what you want. The crazy part about the affiliate strategy that I'm gonna outline for you is that I actually have zero financial incentive, which is not common. Most of the time, if you go to a social media, you know, you get some influencer and you're like, hey, will you promote my supplement brand? They're like, well, what's my split? Right? Because they're like, I'm going to be taking some goodwill out of my audience, so I need to be compensated for that. But if you have such goodwill, you might do it for free if you actually thought that it was good. I mean, think about when a friend of yours is like, hey, what pair of shoes are those? And you're like, oh, I love these shoes, or I love this bag, or whatever it is. You're being an affiliate, just in a micro, with your micro influence to that business. And you do it because you feel like you will actually gain in relational capital because that person will go buy the shoes, use the shoes, love the shoes, tell you about it, associate with you. That's why you do it. The affiliate strategy that I outlined for my process was simple. I have two layers of affiliates. And I think this is useful for anyone when you're thinking about your products or your business, is that I've got my super affiliate level, and then I've got regular affiliates. The key difference is that I like to have two polar opposite strategies. The people who are super affiliates have big audiences and they tend to be competitive, more status driven, etc. And so I want to align what they want, which is status, with what I want, which is people. What I decided to do was say, hey, and this is going to be pretty key, and I haven't explained this publicly yet, so you know, enjoy. I said the top 10 will get an AMA live with me to their audience. Now, here's why this is unique and different. One, I have a very small supply of time. Like, I don't speak in public very much. I think in the last year of companies that I don't own, I've done one speech. I try and limit my supply of time that I'm available to other people's audiences. Imagine you're now in the audience of this super affiliate and he says, hey, register for this book event. Now, if I'm the customer or I'm that person's audience, I think, what's in it for me? Why don't I just go to Alex's thing rather than clicking your link? Or why do I click your link for someone else's? Well, here's why. This benefits them. So if I'm the affiliate, I say, hey, click my link so that our community can have the prize, rather than me saying, hey, the top 10 affiliates get supercars, right? Because why does that benefit their audience? Because if I did it exactly like that, hey, help me win my contest, that is withdrawing from their audience. But if I do it this way, then I can say, hey, I actually want to support you and your audience. And that way, when you make this email to your list, it doesn't cost you anything. And so that's why I engineered it this way, so that this is just goodwill they gain. And the reason why is aligned so that their incentive, my incentive, and the audience's incentive are all line towards the same outcome, which is to get the click and to sign up for the event. So whenever you're making something for any affiliate, you want to align all of the incentives to the greatest degree possible. Now, when you say, I'm just going to pay them, that aligns your incentive and their incentive, but not the audience's incentive. And so the more aligned incentives you get, the bigger the outcome. Now, the second level is regular affiliate. So if you're like, okay, well, right now I think the top people all have like 1,000 people that they've sent over to the book launch for us. And so if you have 1,000 total followers, the likelihood that you're going to send all 1,000 is probably pretty low. And so you might be like, well, why even bother? So you have to answer that question, which is why I have the second tier. So why bother even affiliating to begin with? Why bother even promoting this? I said, if you get more than 10 to show up to the event, just 10 people, and if you have an email list or you have any following whatsoever, even if you don't have any of those things, you just know 10 people who you think it would be valuable, you don't have to have any marketing skills to get 10 people to a thing. And the reason you would do it, remember aligned incentives, is that they trust that if I say, hey, this is gonna be worth it, I'm gonna deliver on that. And the reason they might be able or willing to make that bet is because if I've said it in the past that it would be worth it, I have delivered on that. And so to give you a bit of context, I've only emailed my list, I think like 3 or 4 times in the past year. And I've made a lot of content. We put out 250 a week, 1,000 pieces of content a month. So 12,000 a year, right? Roughly in terms of pieces of content. And only 4 pieces of content that I say, I think you guys should go check this out. It's worth the time, right? Not to say I don't think the other time is worth it, but if I'm going to make the ask, I want to make sure that whatever they get is far in excess. Because let's say every piece of content, 80% of people think it's good and 20% of people think it's mid. Whatever, okay? But if I know that 99% of people are gonna believe that it's gonna be amazing, then that's one where I have a low risk of saying, hey, you're gonna get more than your time by doing this or by watching this. And so from the big picture perspective, when you're promoting this, you don't wanna like smash everyone all at once the whole time, because then people get sick of you, right? The best analogy I've heard from this is something called whisper, tease, shout. And I heard this somewhere at some event, and I don't know who originally came up with it, but I just love this. You got whisper, tease, shout. And this is really like the 3 phases of promoting anything. So whisper is where you drip itty bit, like not even hints. You're just building anticipation. And so this is like the Godzilla scene in the movie theaters that's just like the foot, and it just says May 2025, right? And so they don't tell you the plot. There's no character development. It's just enough to get you excited. That's all it is. Within the context of this book, over the last 2 years, I've just been sprinkling little stories, maybe like, oh, another day of writing, another, like, just, oh, got another thing, I got something good for you, like, and I'm just showing, just not a lot, not saying what's inside of it, not talking at all about the contents, just saying, I'm writing a book, and this and it's gonna be good, you guys are gonna love it, right? And showing the work, because let me give you a quick example on this, is that if I said, I spent 2 years making this 10-minute video, how likely would it be that you'd think that video was good compared to, I said, hey, I spent 2 hours on this 10-minute video. You'd probably be way more likely to watch the 10-minute video that I spent 2 years working on. And so the same thing works with whatever projects you wanna sell. The further out you can show them that you're working on this thing, the more they'll believe that you have invested in it. And I learned this from an early mentor of mine. He said, the key to making it a big deal is to make it a big deal. And so like, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you tell people that something's a big deal, then they will believe that it's a big deal. And so I can't say it more simply than that. And so if I show you that I've been working on this for 2 years, then when I say it's finally ready, people be like, wow, he's worked a long time on this. I wanna check it out. So you build curiosity. Here, we transition to the tease phase. So let me walk you through. So phase one is 6 weeks plus out. That means like 3 months out, 12 months, 2 years out. You're just whispering. That's all we're doing here. Then we get into teasing. So this is where you peel back a corner of the page and you show one page, or you do a reading of a paragraph, or you make videos about some of the content, right? That's inside the book. Now you don't show the whole thing. You just zoom in on a little bit, just a clip, just a little something, something. So they're like, ooh, now I have a prediction of what type of value I'm gonna get from this thing, right? Now you're looking at the trailer, right? That's 30 seconds long, that has a couple dinosaurs running in and out. You're like, ooh, there's action in this. Like, you get a general direction of what this movie's gonna be about. This is 6 weeks to 7 days. Then you transition to shout. Shout is the last 7 days leading up into the thing. At this point, you're not whispering, you're not teasing, you're not hinting, you're like, this is the thing, it's gonna be awesome, be there. And most of this is reminders. A big part that most people mess up, and this is what I see a lot of marketers do overall, is they spend 6 weeks shouting, right? People literally get bored of your thing before it even happens because you've talked about it so much, right? So that's number one. And you want it to feel like this. It's like intermittent, more frequent, and then you crescendo up into whatever the event is, right? And you get big, lots of money. There you go, right? When we're in the shout phase, how effective you are at the shout is actually predicted by everything you did before that. And so what happens is most people don't provide enough value before they say, hey, I've got my thing, right? And so what they have to do is they start having to artificially create value and increase their content frequency in order to approximate having provided value beforehand. And so they try and provide value and ask and provide value and ask at the same time, and it just looks disjointed because they don't have any goodwill to withdraw from. And so then they ask and shout even harder and louder until eventually no one listens to them. And you don't want that. We wanna be really careful about when we're shouting. It is super effective, but then you burn it out quickly. And so you wanna use it right here so it leads to the event. During the whisper and tease phase, and this is something that my brand director and I, Caleb, had a long discussion about, which is during these time periods, are we gonna only talk about the book? It's like, well, no. What about during the tease phase? Are we only gonna talk about the book? No. We're gonna still provide value the exact same way we have been, in the exact same volume we have been, and then added it on top. So think about that. You're like, wait, that sounds like more work. Sure is. My team's behind the camera just sweating. The idea though is that why would I want to decrease the value that I'm providing my audience during the time when I want to ask them to do something even more? It's like, no. Not only do I want to make sure that I'm providing my regular value, which is about business content in general, growing businesses, scaling, sales, marketing, etc., but then I also want to talk about the book. And if you want to be clever with it, whenever you're making your advertisements, because this is an advertisement, if it just means making other people know about your stuff, that's what I'm doing, right? You want to still make sure that the advertisement itself is still valuable. Like, who here likes going to the movie theater and then watching the trailers? I love watching the trailers before a movie. Like, I'm bummed if I don't get the first 15 minutes before the movie. Why? Because they are valuable. They're entertaining. I like watching them. And so there's a reason they designed them that way. People share trailers. Why? Because it's valuable. And if you share the trailer, what did it do? You got more people to find out about it, which is why well-designed advertisements provide value to the person and let them know about the thing. That's the magic. Throughout this whole process, if you think about value as this line, this is constant all the way through. It's unchanging. All right, so we're providing value the whole time, and then we sprinkle in, whisper, whisper. Then we start showing more details about what they're gonna find out, the value that they're gonna get. And then we remind until the event. Meanwhile, still posting value, still adding to the audience so that each of these hit. Because think about this, every day you have new people who come into your world and they don't have 2 years of goodwill. So I have probably more people coming to my world right now because so many more people are promoting my book that I actually have to deliver more value than I ever have because I have so many new people who are now gonna find out about my stuff. And what a shame it would be if they enter my world and then the only thing they have is a smash from me saying, go grab something, go check out my virtual event, right? So I have to be delivering in higher amounts because I have more people than ever who are seeing your stuff, right? That's the idea. And that is the whole concept between the three-phase attack of whisper, tease, shout. And for everyone who wants to use paid influencers, paid affiliates, endorsements, I have tons of money examples, costs and returns, how to calculate it, how to set what percentages for what tiers of affiliates, how to set up multiple tiers, how much value I put in each one, how to associate, this one is for activation, this one is for a super affiliate. I have all of those and all the best practices that I've used inside of here. I didn't want to include it in this video, not because I don't want to share it, because I think a lot of people get lost in the numbers and you probably want to read and reread it again in front of you, which is why it's in the book. So if this is interesting and you're like, man, I would love to find a way that other businesses could advertise my stuff on my behalf and do it for free, or do it only after I've made money so there's no risk to me, then affiliates are your play. So let's talk about the actual mechanics of this, all right? So for me, because I didn't have to do payouts, it became significantly easier for me to get affiliates, all right? Because typically when you have an affiliate, there's two ways to do it. You can have paid and unpaid. So paid affiliates, you either pay them with money or you scratch their back, they scratch your back, right? This is the collab. This is the, I'll promote your thing if you promote my thing. Now for me, I don't feel confident that I could promote a lot of my affiliate stuff, just being really candid, because I don't know if they're necessarily at that level yet, or I wouldn't risk the trust that I have built with my audience, just being very candid. But they're not asking me to do that, so that's okay. Now on the unpaid side, they have to get other things, and that's where I'm adding those extra bonuses in order to get them to want to do it. When you have a paid affiliate, you have to get them to fill out all these forms, taxes, so that you can pay them and they can be seen as, I don't even remember what it is. Maybe it's a K-1 or a 1099. I think it's a 1099. They get a 1099 from your company because they'll have sent you money and then you have to send them money back. And there's all these forms you have to have them fill out. Now, the good thing with this is that if someone goes through the trouble of doing this, the likelihood that they want to promote is significantly higher. So there are benefits to this. If I'm in a B2B business all day long, I want to have a little bit more friction. I want to qualify the affiliates. I want to make sure that they're sending the right types of people to whatever it is that I have, especially if I'm selling services. Now, I have a book which is delivered without my time. And so I'm willing to forego some of the friction that I would normally put in with a B2B business in order to get more scale and volume in a B2C scenario. So for here, the way the opt-in form worked for our affiliate campaign, if you want to check it out, you can go to acquisition.com/affiliate. And what you'll see is you'll see a first name, last name, email, phone, and that's it. And you'll see a button. When they click that, the thank you page, and we did it in two ways, the thank you page has their now custom link that they can use to promote your thing. And they get an email, because sometimes people lose it or they don't screenshot or whatever, that also has a copy of that. This sounds like tiny stuff, but sometimes like the extra email or putting on the thank you page makes a 25% difference in the amount of people who promote your stuff. And as a side benefit here, we actually changed the banner on top of the submit form and increase the amount of affiliates who decided to sign up on the opt-in page by 60%, all right? And so little things can still make huge differences in the campaign, which is why I'm sharing these tiny details with you. Now, when you want the affiliates to sign up, if you want volume, you make it easier. If you want quality, you make it harder. And the push-pull in business is figuring out where the sweet spot is for your products at your price point. I'm going really mass market for a book, which is considered probably a pretty cheap thing. All right, and so I can go all the way on this side, and then I'm trying to make this as easy as humanly possible. So like, how long does it take to sign up to be an affiliate of the book? 30 seconds. And literally someone could go 30 seconds and then make a story on social media and immediately share it and get leads, right? So I made it really low time delay. Remember the value equation? We can still apply it to every step in this whole process. So the value is they become an affiliate. The time delay is 30 seconds. The effort and sacrifice is they type their stuff in, and the perceived likelihood that it works is they click submit. And if it works, they're done, right? So we still apply the same four variables to every step in this process to get the most amount of people to promote your stuff. Now, from your promotional aspects, there are two big promotions that you'd be running concurrently. Again, remember I said there's two types of customers? Well, that means that I'm running marketing campaigns to the customers who I want to show up to the event, and I'm also now running campaigns to the affiliates to remind them to promote the event, right? Because once you get the affiliate, that's the easy part. The hard part is getting them to advertise your thing. And so this is where reminders, reach outs, like tokens, here's Starbucks, just getting them engaged, messaging them to remind them to keep doing it. Because the thing is, If they promote it once, it'll help a little bit. But if they promote it consistently throughout the whole time, they're all in. And the depth that you will get with their audience, because their audience will see that they are bought in, you will carry on some of that trust when you make your offer for whatever it is. So one of the important things is that I have a big list of people who are going to this event. And so I said, hey, it would mean the world to me if you shared this event with your audience. So I sent two emails to that big list. And from those two emails, we got 9,000 people to say they wanted to register. Now I shared it on my story and shared it in other places, but the majority of that came from my email list who decided to become affiliates and promote it to their audiences. Here's a mistake that a lot of people make, is that they will then keep messaging the audience that's supposed to show up to the event to promote the event, and then they lose goodwill in that audience. And so I opt to do two, max three advertisements over the entire length of whatever your campaign is to let them know that the opportunity exists. And even within those messages, I assume that my customers are gonna be the vast majority of people who are gonna read this. So be smart about what you're saying. Don't be like, oh man, we're gonna sell a shitload of books here, right? Like, you can't say that, right? Like, because your customers are like, that's how he sees me, right? And you don't want that. And so the idea is like, this is gonna be an amazing event. Like, you wanna continue to edify the event and follow the same messaging buckets that you would about the main thing, but then tie in the why it ties to the mission for them to also support you and the whole cause overall. And so for us, we sent two emails, that created 9,000. And then once they get onto that list, then they've given you permission to give them way more information. But even then, I tend to, just because probably my communication style in general, I tend to communicate thoroughly, but not as frequently. Like, some people want to email every day, that's not my vibe. And so every week, and we set the expectation up front, you will get two emails a week from me from now until the day of the thing. And that way they can think, okay, there's 5 weeks, I'm gonna get 10 emails from it. Done. And then what do I do when I make my promises? I keep my promises. And so I say the first email is gonna be more content that you can then use, because I'm gonna give them stuff in real time. Now, what did we do with the content? I told you I gave them the black book. Was there any more stuff? Of course there was. But I didn't give it up front because I knew that everybody's gonna take that stuff, because now that's their insider intel that shows that they have more inside knowledge than anyone else does, which is why people click their link and also gives them stronger brand association. But then 3 weeks in, I'm going to give them another big packet of stuff that they can then use, so that I can guarantee that their ads don't get stale as they promote my thing, just like I would for myself. So I would not give them that same advantage, because I want them to promote it and I want it to work. Two emails a week, one with the content and the other with the update of where they stand. Because a lot of people are like, well, where am I? How many do I have? And this is the part that a lot of people don't get. It's like, you have to give them tracking back. Now, the more advanced you are as an affiliate marketer and people who manage networks of affiliates, sometimes you need to have back-end tie-ins so they can get pixel fires and all sorts of stuff. Now, for me, because of the nature of this event, I didn't mess with any of that, because I wanted to make it very easy, very light lift for all the affiliates. And I wanted to be more on goodwill, and if they're aligned with the cause, more than because they're trying to get a paycheck. The right affiliates are also stoked about the thing, right? And this is a piece that I think a lot of people miss when they do this, is they're like, if you just try to get people for the money, then it means you've hired mercenaries. If you get people for the cause, you've hired missionaries, right? And you want missionaries, not mercenaries, because mercenaries will just go to the next person who has the highest bidder, and then you basically have a reverse race to the bottom. You have a race to the top in terms of how much you're willing to pay them to promote your thing, which is not a type of business that I want to be in. And so I'd rather say, hey, you're not going to get anything, but you're going to get all this goodwill. And if you're associated with that, or you want to associate with that, then here's a way to do it that's fast and easy. And so we provide them even more value than the people who are on the list in their sphere. Like, it's not that it's more value, it's different value that they would find interesting. Like, me explaining how I'm doing this affiliate thing is valuable for them so that they can use it on their own stuff. Because these are all marketers and promoters in their own right, have their own businesses. And so for them, half the value is seeing what I'm doing behind the scenes so that they can employ it themselves. I'll bet you a third of the list of the 9,000 are just want to see what I'm doing and aren't even planning to promote it at all. And that's okay, I'm fine with that, all right? But by the way, if you are gonna promote, go promote. The TLDR here is provide value to them just like you would a customer, give them stats of where they're at, be consistent with whatever promises you make, be upfront about the expectations that you have of them and what expectations they can have of you, and then stick to those. And then the last week, the last few days, a couple extra reminders, and then you're on. And then after that, you announce the winners and you give them the prizes that you promised. And when you choreograph all that together, you might be like, man, that's a lot of work. Well, yeah, but so valuable is having 9,000 other people promoting your stuff for you. Because if you think about it, at the end of the day, there's two people who can promote what you have. You and other people. And there are more of them than there are of you. There's a lot of people in the world, and there's a lot of people who don't know who you are. And so if you can find a way to make it a win-win-win, you unlock as much traffic as you want for whatever it is you're trying to sell. And so the win-win-win, because I'm gonna say this again, because I think it's important, is that you have to win, the affiliate has to win, and most importantly, their audience has to win. And if you can show them that their audience wins by them associating with you, you will unlock the doors to as much promotion as you want. And the coolest part, and I'm saying this again, is that this is absolutely free. Anyone can do this, and all you do is you lead with value. And you have to remember that you now have two customers. You have your affiliates that you have to make offers to and deliver on and market to and provide provide value to, and you have the customers, yours and their customers, that you now have to deliver on. And I will tell you this, the standards that the affiliates will have for how you treat their customers will be even higher than how you treat your customers. And the main thing is because everybody thinks they treat their customers better than they really do, and so they expect anyone else to treat them with the utmost respect and care. Having affiliates forces you to raise your own standards for how good you are at messaging and advertising in general, which is one of the things I kind of like about it, because it gives me a little bit more pressure to keep over delivering. And I will tell you that there are a couple things that I made, a couple tweaks that I made to how we're promoting the book that I only made after some of my closest friends were like, dude, I'm gonna be pushing this to my whole audience. And I was like, I need to say this differently. I need to word this differently. And these tiny tweaks that I think will give huge outcomes for us and them, but I wouldn't have done if I didn't have that next level of pressure. And so that is the complete behind the scenes affiliate guide of how I promoted this book, 100 Million Dollar Leads. And maybe by the time you see this, we'll be at 10,000. And real quick, if you have an audience that's big or small and you've enjoyed the content or you enjoyed the last book and you think that your audience or your friends would enjoy the next book, then you can go register and actually promote it at acquisition.com/affiliate. And there's no financial incentive, and you can tell your audience that you have no financial incentive for doing it. And the idea is that if they click your link, you might enter to win. But I forgot to say the last little secret, which is that if you just get over 10 people to the event, I'll give you 2 bonus chapters that I'm not gonna release in the book, just for every single person who brings 10 people to the event, because it means so much to me that I didn't put the value in the book just to give it to you guys, because I knew that I wanted this to be special and I wanted to demonstrate what I say in the book in real life. And now that you understand the affiliate strategy that I'm using to promote $100 million leads, here is the next video for making you more dollars.